This interview is with Stella Nelson, a homemaker living at 920 Fifth Avenue South in Moorhead. She has lived in this area since 1961. This interview was held at Moorhead State University's recording studio on January 27, 1986. The interviewer is Gladys Westrom, representing the Heritage Education Commission. All right, Stella, I'm going to ask you a few questions, and maybe then you can answer them for me so we get a little data on your life.
Okay.
As a child, where did you live?
I lived in Atwater, Minnesota, which is near Wilmer.
And what was your mother's life like?
My mother? She was very, very busy because we were eight children, and we lived on a farm, and there was a lot of work to be done. Seems like she did mostly her work in the house because of the children and the babies and so on, and she did a lot of sewing, and between preparing the meals and so on, why, she was very, very busy.
Do you remember anything that she used to yearn for, wish that she had?
Well, I know that one thing, she always wanted to go to California sometime, which she did much later in life. I took her out there. But I don't know that she particularly mentioned anything besides that.
She seemed to be satisfied with the way life was for her.
Yes, she felt she was terribly busy, of course, and she was. Mm-hmm.
What do you think would surprise her if she could come back now to visit you?
Well, she did end up having a lot of the modern conveniences, so that wouldn't surprise her too much. I don't know. I suppose because she wouldn't be busy like she was. I think that'd be one big thing.
What was a typical day like in your house? Do you remember it as a child?
Well, I remember that Dad was always the first one up in the morning, and he would get up and he always made the fire in the kitchen range and made coffee. And it was a tradition in his family, and it stretched into ours too, to bring my mother coffee in the morning in bed. And I think there was some little thing with it. We had a lot of rusks or something like that that went with coffee. And he didn't like it that she got out of bed before she had her coffee. And I know my grandmother talked about that too. She had had it. And so it was a tradition. But that's as far as it went. I don't think my brothers do it.
And you didn't do it.
No. And then after that, then of course the men went out to milk and so on, and then my mother got up and then made breakfast and so on.
Was there a difference in the family then after the children left with your mother?
Well, yes, although I think that coffee ritual stayed until my father died. He died at 69, and then of course my mother felt so alone because she'd always had him there to plan for her and to do things with.
What about now when you were first married? Did you continue that?
What do you mean?
Serving your...
No.
That was gone by.
That was gone by, mm-hmm. Huh?
Yeah. And when your children, you did have children.
I have one daughter.
Mm-hmm. And when she was small, what changed your pattern of living?
Well, it was a little different different than from my mother had, because I had to work too. And I think that made a difference too.
Couldn't spend all your time then just at home.
Well, I was at home, but I worked. I had to cook for a group of men and so on.
How about the money records when you were growing up and started housekeeping? Who kept the money records?
I wouldn't know. I don't know that we kept such a lot of records. Just kept the checkbook. About it, I guess.
Did your child have allowance?
When she got older, she did, but not as a small child. It wasn't, they didn't seem to do that much with the children at that age.
They were just sort of expected to help with them.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Did you determine how much then she was supposed to get? How did you?
Yes, we talked it over, and she got the same as the other children did.
How much time did you have for volunteer activities?
Not such a whole lot. The main activities I had was church and teaching Sunday school and choir and those things. We had, I think that was about it, mm-hmm. teaching Sunday school and church. Mm-hmm.
What kind of activities or hobbies did you have then when you were first married?
I did a lot of handwork, and I have always done a lot of handwork, crocheting and sewing and knitting. Did a lot of sewing and reading. I've always been a great reader.
Did you have to work outside the home? Did you live on a farm?
Yes, uh-huh. But it was different. It was a dairy farm. It was different than our home farm. No, I didn't have to do much outside of the house.
How are your Sundays different from other days?
Well, of course, we went to Sunday school and church, and usually the dinner was always a little extra. And our afternoons were kind of quiet, and yet we visited with friends. In those days, they would drop in. They weren't always invited. And we always expected people to come in, or we would do it. And that was the main thing we did on Sundays, and rested.
Your dinners took more preparation than on other days, probably, too.
Yes, usually the night before you plan things. And I know many times, even through Sunday school and church, was at least 2 hours, I would put things in the oven and turn the oven down, and it usually was done when I got home.
How do meal patterns of the early 30s differ from meals eaten now?
Well, in the early 30s, there wasn't as much, there was food, but I mean, we didn't have the means to get a lot of it. Most of it was things that we had raised ourselves. And I think the meals were simpler. And of course, they were all done by hand. We did it all. We didn't have these quick foods or any of that thing. And we made bread and did all the baking and so on.
That way it took more time then,
yes,
too.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What about the kind of foods that were available?
You mean the prepared ones?
Yes.
Well, the cereals, the dry cereals were prepared. And it seems to me we used to get a flour that had, that we used especially for cake flour.
That's right.
Cake flour, we used to get that. And I don't know that we had a lot of prepared things aside from those things. We could buy bread, though.
Mm-hmm. You could. Mm-hmm. And how about the packaging of them? When you first started out, was the food all packaged like it is now, or was it bulk?
I think it was packaged. I can remember. I don't remember a lot of it in bulk.
Some people can remember when coffee was in a bin and you bought
it. Oh, yes, the coffee. I remember at home, my dad used to order coffee from a place, Texas or someplace, and he would order it. It would come in 25-pound bags, and he would order it for all the neighbors and so on. And then in each bag, there was always a gift, and it was usually some nice piece of china. I think a lot of our dishes came from there. And then because he was the one that ordered from everyone, then about once a year we'd get a nice big box with some lovely things in it from the company. I remember that, the coffee especially.
Mm-hmm. Well, that was interesting. Mm-hmm. How about the frequency of your shopping?
Well, we, in the summertime, we would go, I'm talking about at home now.
Yes.
On the farm. And in the summertime, we would go into town more often because we didn't have much refrigeration. But I remember we used to go in, especially for the meat. And then, of course, Saturday was the big day to shop, or Saturday towards evening, or Saturday evening, we'd go to town and shop.
Seems mm-hmm. like that's when most people did, didn't they, in the
yes.
smaller towns. They'd
and
come
then,
together Friday night for their visiting and uh-huh. and do their shopping.
Yeah, either Friday or Saturday night. And then we'd visit with friends.
Mm-hmm. And what about the prices?
Well, of course, they were much, much less than they are now. And a dollar went a long ways in those days. Even a nickel. We used to get a nickel. We'd get quite a bit for it. Mm. But, of course, we didn't buy things like we do now either. Because, like, we buy canned fruits now. We canned those ourselves. So many things that we buy now, we did up ourselves.
That's right.
And
I
raised.
Think mm-hmm. I think that's true. Mm-hmm. How much of your own food did you produce?
Well, we always had a garden, and we did a lot of canning, and not only fruit, we canned a lot of fruit, but also we canned meat, and that was one way, of course, of keeping it. And it was very good.
I know some people even used to can, not can, but smoke.
Oh, yes.
Did you do that? Did you have a smokehouse? And
we didn't, but I think somebody smoked it for us, if I remember right. Because I know we had smoke things too, but we didn't do it. Mm-hmm. Oh, Grandpa didn't.
How was food kept fresh and safe to eat?
Well, we had cellar. We call it cellar in those days, and that was quite cool. And we would keep our milk and perishable things there. And then also by our pump, we had a water tank. And we had one that where we could put our milk and so on in that. And the water ran through it, so it was always cold. And that's the way we would keep that.
You mean the water ran like a spring through the Did you have to pump it?
No, it ran into that, and then there was something going out of it into the big tank.
Oh.
But it was so it was kept cold.
Mm-hmm.
And we used to hang it in there. And
when did refrigeration become available while you were still on the farm?
Oh, dear, I can't remember.
Or didn't you ever have it?
Oh, yes. And they had it later. I think it was, I would almost guess, close to in the 30s, probably. Maybe later, too. I just don't remember the date for that.
That's when you could have long-term storage, then.
Yes, mm-hmm.
You would, what would you do with your vegetables and that at that time? Did you freeze them? And
I suppose, yes, yes,
yeah. Everything didn't have to
I don't think we did as much freezing at first, because I think that took a while for that to catch on.
Mm-hmm. How has the time required for food preparation changed?
Well, it seems to me that we were always cooking or baking in those days. We didn't have the quick foods we have now. And we spent an awful lot of time in the kitchen.
I think that was the rule then, preparing. Now everything is so easy for us.
Mm-hmm.
What has made the greatest difference then in time committed to preparing food?
Well, I suppose all the conveniences we have.
That's a
I think that's the biggest thing, uh-huh. Maybe our eating habits have changed quite a bit, too.
What was the source of water when you first started homemaking, or even with your parents, when you were living at home?
At home, we had the pump and our own well. And later on, of course, I was piped into the house. But otherwise, I can remember after I left home, it was always running water in the house.
Mm-hmm. Were most things purchased ready-made or homemade when you remember in your childhood?
Do you mean clothing? Or
yes,
do you mean
clothing. Uh-huh. Clothing and household linens.
We did a lot of sewing ourselves. Mainly because we couldn't afford to buy them ready-made. And, of course, we'd make over things. And I know when we went to high school, we had my friend Ruth, who lived just a short ways from me, we've talked about many times, we had about two dresses, something like that. And I don't know what we wore all the time, but we didn't wear slacks either or anything like that. Skirts and tops, I suppose.
And you never felt as though you were dressed any poorer than anyone else?
No,
did you?
We were all the same. Everybody was the same in our neighborhood, and we didn't feel we were worse off than anybody else. We didn't feel we were bad off.
No.
I suppose nowadays they would say we were very poor, but we didn't think so.
That's right. How about the things you did buy? Did you have the catalog or the store? Mm-hmm. Tell us how you got
there. Yes, we had mainly the two main catalogs, Sears and Montgomery Ward's were the two main ones. Then we did a lot of buying through them.
Was there excitement the day the catalogs came when you were little?
Oh, yes. Those catalogs were worn out by the time the new one came because they were looked at so much.
Not only for clothes, but what else? Did you kids play with them? I mean, like some did pick out the toys they wanted and call them theirs. And
Oh, maybe that, yes, uh-huh.
And you said you had made-over clothes and hand-me-downs?
Oh, yes. I didn't have as much hand-me-downs because I was the oldest girl. But I know that a lot of what I had was made over. I remember one time, Mother even took her wedding dress and made over so I'd have a dress out of it. And we weren't given a lot of clothes either to make over, but it seemed like we always had clothes to wear.
What about now keeping the clothes clean?
Well, of course, a lot of it was washable, but with the woolens and things like that, we did it by hand, I know that, because we didn't put those in the machine in those days. But
how was your laundry done?
Well, I remember when I was real young, we had one of those, seemed like we had wash. No, we used a tub too sometimes and rubbing the clothes ourselves. But then we got a machine, one of those with a stick that you pulled. And then it got to be that my brothers and dad rigged it up to a motor. So we had a motor with it. But washing clothes is always a whole day job.
What about getting the water ready to wash?
Well, we'd carry
the... About heating it, Ned?
Yeah, we had a big boiler on the stove, you know, to heat it. And I think that was the only way it was heated. Mm-hmm. And then we'd hang them out outside, of course.
And days when it rained, then what?
I don't remember what we did then. I don't think we had a particular day to wash clothes like some did.
That's probably...
I think that was it, more than anything else.
Mm-hmm. Did you have a rack, too, that you brought in the house sometimes when the clothes weren't really dry?
Mm-hmm.
How about ironing? Has the ironing of clothing and linens changed?
Oh my, yes. We had the old irons, you know, on the stove, and then we'd put a handle on them and iron till they got cool, and then we'd change and take another hot one, and so on. And when I think of all the ironing we did with ruffles and lace and all those things, yet it was all well done. And then, of course, we got electricity later on.
Just think of in the summer then, too, when you had to keep the stove going so you could keep the irons on.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Made a difference, didn't it?
Yeah.
Did you do a lot of mending and repair of the clothing?
Yes, uh-huh. Yes, we did.
Mm-hmm. What changes have you seen in the kinds of clothing acceptable for church, school, shopping, and housework?
There's been a lot of it. We wouldn't think of it. In fact, we never wore slacks or overalls or anything. Even in the wintertime when we walked 3/4 of a mile to school, and we walked all the time, we'd have heavy stockings that we'd pull on top of ours and this kind of a thing, or leggings. And we would never think of putting on slacks or overalls or whatever they were at that time. And we always had something special for Sundays. That was always very special. Everybody dressed up for doing church on Sunday. We didn't come very casual either. We put on our Sunday best, and that was right. And
what about on school days when you came home from school?
Oh yes, we usually took off what we had on and then put on something else or whatever around the house or whatever we were to do. We always changed and saved it for another day. Mm-hmm. We didn't have a different outfit every day, by far.
And about when you were doing the housework then?
Yeah, that was different. We always had aprons and things that we covered up with, uh-huh.
It's one thing that they don't use so much now is aprons, but that's the first thing you put on when you went to make
a meal,
wasn't it?
That's right.
Put on an apron.
I hardly ever use one anymore.
Housekeeping now and housing, let's talk a little bit about that. How has the amount of time spent in housekeeping changed?
Oh my. Well, of course, I used to live in a big house, and we went over the thing almost every day because there were a lot of people around. And at home, many times in the wintertime, you know, that the younger children couldn't get out, or any of us could. And so the house wasn't always as neat as it should have been. But we didn't have the amount of toys the children have now, but we had things to play with. Blocks and the things like that. And but I know that we always especially did a special cleaning for Sunday. Always.
How's that changed now in the way you keep your house now? What's made it a little easier?
Of course, all the modern appliances would make a difference. And we did a lot of, years ago, we did a lot of mopping up the floors, wiping them down your hands and knees, which we hardly ever do anymore. And scrubbing, I remember our kitchen floor was always scrubbed with a scrub brush and soap, and it didn't have, it was just the boards, you know. But it was always so nice and white when it got through.
That's what I remember about our grandma's too. It was white. Mm-hmm. Floor was white.
Yeah.
It's the last thing we did on Saturday night.
My mother always did it when the kids were all in bed. Mm-hmm.
What was the job you hated most to do?
Well, I can't remember that there was any one in particular. I used to help with the milking too, you know, in the morning and evening and so on. But I didn't mind it. I knew he had to do it, so I guess I don't know if there was anything worse. Ironing probably was the one thing I didn't like to do too much.
Has that changed over the years?
No. Of course, we don't do much ironing anymore. But.
That's true. Mm-hmm. And easier to iron, too.
Yes.
Has your attitude toward house cleaning changed?
Yes. You know, we used to do that spring house cleaning and all this kind of stuff. And now I think it's more cleaning as you go. At least I do it that way.
What was your annual house cleaning like?
Oh, we took everything down. All the curtains and the drapes and hung it out in the line and took the pick up the living room rug and put it on the clotheslines and beat it with the rug beaters and we papered. Painted and things like that. We did that ourselves. I think I put up more wallpaper than you could shake a stick at. I don't think I could do it today, but I did a lot of it.
There must have been a lot of clean homes then, all this in the fall and the spring. And
yes.
Because everyone seems to do the same thing.
And everything was clean, the closets and the drawers and everything, you know. Where we don't do that way. At least I don't anymore.
I don't think many do.
Mm-mm.
What chores were considered weekly chores?
Well, I would say this type of cleaning we always did for Sunday was a weekly chore. And then washing and ironing were usually weekly. And baking, too, lots of times. Although we did a little in between, but we always did a lot of baking for the weekend.
All right, and then daily you always had to do what?
Well, the daily meals and the picking up and straightening up things and that's the main thing, I guess. I'm talking about inside now.
Yes. What were some of the problems encountered during the Depression of the 30s?
Well, I know there was. Quite a change up in our home area, like in our home in particular. I wasn't home at the time, but I remember them telling that we used to have a fairly good-sized breakfast in the morning and so on, and it got down to it that they just couldn't afford having fruit. I don't think they bought fruit for a long time during that time when things were so bad, and the breakfast would turn to be just cereal or something like that. And they really had a tough time those days. But then, like I say, everybody had it.
Then how did you cope with these problems encountered during the Depression?
Well, I guess we took one day at a time and tried to make the best of everything.
Probably, as you said, everybody was in the same boat,
yes,
so it didn't mean too much. What were some of the problems encountered in homemaking during World War II in regards to food rationing? Do you remember that?
I can remember the bread we had because we couldn't get white flour for so long. And my mother, they'd bring home different kinds of flour, and we had all different kinds of breads. And if it didn't get eating, we had bread pudding. To this day, I don't like bread pudding. A lot of things is a great, great thing, but I guess because we had so much of it. I had a brother that always came up with some really clever quips, and He always told everybody that we were raised on mush and bread pudding because we had this mush in the evening for our evening meal.
How about food stamps?
I remember them, but not too much. It seemed like we managed to get along all right on it.
I think you were allotted so many for families.
Yes, Of course, we were a big family, so but we seemed to get along all right.
Did the gas rationing affect you at all?
I can't remember that it did particularly.
You did have cars, though.
Oh, yes. Yes, we had cars. We had a car, one of the first ones in our neighborhood. But I remember things about gas rationing that were kind of interesting. I was teaching in Adams, Minnesota, and that's on the Iowa line, right south of Austin. And we wanted I was teaching in a weekday Bible school, and we wanted to take the kids that I had in school, high school children, to Bible camp. And that was at Alexandria, Minnesota, Mount Carmel. And they were all steamed up to go, and it was my job to get the kids talked into going and line them up. And the pastor was to get the transportation. And the farmer said that they would see, too, that we got the gas, but we had to have the conveyance. And it was getting real close to time when we had to go, and finally, and we had planned on a school bus. And finally, one day, a fellow drove by the parsonage, and the pastor's wife said, "Haven't you asked him?" "No, I didn't think of asking him," the pastor said. And so then he said, "I'll ask him," and that man was willing to take us. And he had relatives up at camp, so that we got up there, and then he visited the relatives and then took us back again. And we had brought all kinds of food with us. We had meat galore and all the stuff that we needed because we did our own housekeeping up there. I remember that in particular because that was such a big deal, trying to get gas enough to go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Were you ever affected by the floods where you lived?
I lived in Bismarck at the time of floods. It didn't affect me too much, but I certainly saw what it did to other people.
Your home wasn't affected at all?
No, mm-hmm. No.
How about, do you remember any drought? When you were on the farm, was there any time?
I can't remember that we had, that it was terribly serious. We did have dry times, but it seems like they always weathered them and we got through it. I can't remember that we ever had a drought where we didn't get a crop or anything like that.
Mm-hmm. What impact have technological developments had on your role as a homemaker now in regards to electrical appliances?
Well, of course, that has made everything easier. And we've gotten so that we lean on it, take it for granted nowadays, which we, of course, it was entirely different years ago. But I can remember times before radio and of course, before TV. And I can remember my brother's got one of those little, I don't know what they call those first little radios they had up in their room. And it was just a treat to go up there and hear some noise on it, you know.
But, most static, huh?
Yeah, most static.
How about the telephone? Did you always have a telephone?
I can't remember with time without the telephone. If it was when I was very little. I think we always had telephone.
About party line or?
Oh yes, we had the party line. Oh yes. And when my girlfriend's phone rang, I listened, and when mine rang, she listened, and half the time we didn't hear anything, but then it was fun.
And you said you had running water most all the time. I mean it.
Yeah, I didn't. At home we didn't until later.
Mm-hmm. And how about your heating system?
Well, we had, of course, the kitchen range in the kitchen, and then we had a heater in the middle room, in the family room, we'd call it now. And then the pipes went up through the bedroom. That was all the heat we had in the bedroom. But we had lots of covers on. They were pretty heavy at night, but we...
How about in the morning when you got ready to dress?
Oh, lots of times we'd grab our clothes and run downstairs and stand by the stove and or the heater. Mm-hmm. And dress there.
And transportation, you said you thought you'd always had a car in your family.
Well, not always, but as we got older, we did have. But
what about before you had the car?
Oh, horse and buggy and or wagon. I can remember especially, and of course, we didn't use a car either when we first got in the wintertime, you know. But I can remember those sleighs, and Dad would fix it up so we'd sit in the back of this sled, bobsled, I guess they called it. And lots of times it was cold. We had even a blanket over our heads. We couldn't see anything, but it was fun. Mm-hmm. Sometimes in the evening or late afternoon, they'd have sleigh bells on. Yeah, we didn't think anything of it because everybody had the same thing around there.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about, or how do you feel about women working outside the home?
Well, it's fine if they don't have real small children. I get a little disturbed, being I've been a teacher, that a lot of these women I think are working that don't actually need to, and you can tell it on the children, because they don't have the mother at home like they should have when they come home, and it does affect a lot of them, and then taking them to babysitters and all that, they don't have the home atmosphere that we used to have.
Yes, I think that's true. In what way do you think radio, TV, and movies have impacted our role as homemakers?
Well, I think it's changed it an awful lot. Because as I remember now, my mother and the mothers in the neighborhood, they were perfectly satisfied to stay home and take care of their families. And because that was the life that they knew. Now with all these new things coming up and you see how other people live and you're enticed to go out, it's quite a little different atmosphere completely.
Do you think the radio or the TV have any effect on children now?
Oh, definitely. Very definitely. Especially after being a teacher, I can tell you.
In what way then? Tell us.
Well, there were a lot of them that came to school with their eyes hardly open and they listened to Johnny Carson at night. And for little tiny children, that was a little bit too much, I thought. And a lot of them, when they come home, they just sit glued to the TV. And I don't think that a lot of them got the exercise and the fun outside that they should have had either because of it.
Yes, I think that's true, They don't find anything for themselves to do.
And they have no imagination anymore. They can't imagine a thing. Everything has to be done for them, or they have to see it. They can't imagine a thing. I used to ask the children lots of times, didn't you ever lie down on the ground and look up at the clouds and see all the pretty things you could see in the clouds? They thought I had a hole in my head. They didn't believe that there was such a thing up there as a cloud. They miss out so much nowadays.
I can't believe that.
And their imaginations are very, very nil because they don't have to. Everything's done for them.
What changes would you like to see in your life as a homemaker? Or as a teacher?
Well,
I mean, what would you like to see different? You having worked with children and that, there must be something that you wish to be.
Well, I would like to see them having a little bit more, see more of their parents than they do. And so they would have a home rather than going to babysitters, this kind of a thing. I don't mean that they should have that all the time, but I mean they should know what a real home is like and do things together as a family. A lot of them never do because they're too busy. One works one time, the father and the mother another time, and the children kind of in between. And they're missing out an awful lot on life because of that.
Yes, I think that's true. What would you wish for your granddaughters as they become homemakers?
Well, I think the same thing, that they could make a real home of it and I don't mean they should just be staying at home, that kind of thing, but I mean the home should be a little more important than it has been. I think a lot of young people are striving for that. I don't mean that they don't all do it, but I wish they were all doing it.
Well, thank you, Stella. Mm-hmm. I'm happy for what you have told us, and I'm sure that what you hope for will probably come true for your grandchildren.